You notice it's 26 after the hour. If I get an hour and 70 minutes, you can calculate what time I should be through. Don't know how much time it'll take me. Probably won't get done. Maybe I'll be done before 12 o'clock. Who knows? We got into a pretty nice discussion in Sunday school, and I guess it'd probably be fair to say that we got our teacher head right up against the clouds, maybe up in a little bit, where it's a little hard to see around when you get too close to the clouds, and I'm going to try to go a little higher yet, so I'm not complaining. I want to read from the 65th chapter of Isaiah this morning. And I have quite a little bit of reading planned, and I may have to do differently too. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face and sacrificeth in gardens and burn incense upon altars of brick. This is not the sacrifices of that they are supposed to be sacrificing, but this is a sacrifice of incense to other gods, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, Well, every once in a while we hear people say, yeah, you don't need any help, just stand up. Be strong. I'm afraid we do need some help. I'm afraid we need to lean on Christ. Which say, stand by themselves, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense unto the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a flock of fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in. For my people have sought me. For ye are they that forsake the Lord, and forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for the troop. Prepare a table for another god, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you in the sword. Therefore will I number you to the sword. And ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear. But did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that which was wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, thy servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Be quite a difference between those that are God's servants and the world, or the ye's as they refer to it here. And ye shall leave your name for a curse upon my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. And he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because if former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Those things that we have done before we turn to God are forgotten. They're hid from his eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come into mind. Well, now, what's the difference between remembering and coming into mind? Maybe that might have been a poor translation, and they've got a substitute here. It says, come unto the heart. Now, what we remember and what we keep in our heart is considerable different. I mean, that's not double talk. A little better than the not come to mind and remembering. But we're promised that when this new heaven and new earth comes and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, we then won't remember the things that we have had before. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. In this time, we're promised 100 years. I think this is in the millennium, the time that is coming. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. There won't be any children dying. Nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. So there's still going to be some sinners at that time. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Now, if we're going to build our own houses and inhabit them, and if we're going to have our own vineyards and eat the fruit of it, that's pretty nice. Right now, we don't do too great with our own vineyards because we have lots of pestilences to eat the foliage off. About the time we get the good crop growing, it turns so dry that we can't let it dies. The weeds comes up and the ground gets hard. There's all things wrong with now. But if we could call for rain just when we wanted it. Gardening, farming, truck patching, whatever you want to call it, would really be fun. If we could call for rain just when we want it, then we could call for sunshine just when we want it. Maybe we could even do better than that. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. God will send it just when we need it, without us even having to call. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. If we do speak, God will hear right then. Not sometime later, but right then. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. How'd that work right now? The wolf and the lamb won't get along, do they? Not at all. And the lion shall eat straw like bullocks, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. This is speaking of a tremendous time. But are we ready for that? Or does our cares of the world hold us here to where we don't want to quite give up to building our own house and planting our own vineyard? There's lots of things that's not said about this time. Doesn't say whether the electrical poles will be torn down or not with ice and snow. Doesn't say whether there's going to be any electrical poles or not. Doesn't say whether we're going to have electricity where we can watch our televisions and see to eat at night and keep our house warm. Those things are not said. Perhaps we will have to go to a little brook somewhere and get our water to cook with. Perhaps we'll be back in what I'd like to refer to as frontier days. Pretty rough living as compared to what we have now. So how are we going to get along with, if it's that way, when we could remember how nice we had it before? But it says that the remembrance will be taken away. And with this new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, or come into mind, or into our heart. It's hard to give up some things. You know, Lot and his wife, they fled the city because they were told that they must, because it's going to be destroyed, and yet she had to look back. She had some pleasantries apparently there. Maybe had several children there. Who knows just exactly what all she had to look back for. And because of it, she was turned into the pillar of salt. If our memories are good, we couldn't turn against our children. We couldn't leave them. But the memories are not going to be good. Those things are going to be taken away. Because memories bring both memories of good things and of bad things. But we're going to be, maybe we don't remember our husband or wife or our children. Because if we were to remember them, we would be sad because they're not here with us. So the memories will be taken away. Even the heart won't even be think of it. We'll turn to the 37th chapter of Psalms. And in looking for things that I wanted to read today, I looked at the front of the book, some of the prophets. And they lived in the days of all different names that was kind of foreign. And I guess I want to say that I am greatly pleased that we are going through the Bible on Wednesday night, reading and trying to understand and trying to pronounce the names of a lot of these people. Now, why can't we do this at home instead of having to come here to do it? Well, if we did it at home, we'd pronounce those names in our mind, and they would never would really get pronounced. And we never would recognize it again. But a lot of the names that we've been stumbling over are right here at the time that the various the prophets. So it's not a waste of time. Though sometimes we might wonder just exactly what did we get out of tonight. 37th chapter. And I guess I'll limit myself to the 9th and the 10th verse. 9th through the 11th. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. This morning the comment was made about being righteous and maybe dividing it up into levels of righteousness. Or saying, righteous enough, doing the best we can. And if we truly are doing the best we can, that's great. If we truly are doing the best we can. For a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked aren't going to be there. And the meek are going to inherit the earth. Let's look at Matthew, just a verse. 5th chapter and the 5th verse. I don't know whether you want to bother to turn that far or not. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Exactly the same thing that David said. David did write Psalms, didn't he? And in the 3rd Nephi, and for you that have studied the Book of Mormon much, we all know that 3rd Nephi is the crime of Christ. On page 635, 5th chapter and the 52nd verse. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now this wasn't David speaking. This was Christ speaking. I don't know whether we can give a whole lot more credence to Christ speaking than we could to David speaking or not. Because David got his information from God. It wasn't from himself. It was from God. But what I'm call attention is that it's not just said one place, it's several places that the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, are we talking about a little patch of brush between here and Wabalo or somewhere that we couldn't possibly raise anything on? Or are we talking about the earth after this earth has passed away and a new heaven and a new earth? I think it's a new heaven and a new earth that the meek is to inherit. Not a few more acres of ground that we got here now. But that wonderful time when there will be the new heaven and new earth. I'd go back to Revelations, 20th chapter, and a little bit in the 21st chapter. Oh my. I guess I won't read it anyhow. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. No, not the first, of course, but the first that John is talking about. At the time that John was writing, which was after the first resurrection that came at Christ's time, John lived after that time, and he was writing at that time and looking forward to the first one that's coming, not the first one that had passed. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. People that have studied the scriptures and feel like that they're more knowledgeable than I have told me that Gog is Russia, or that area of the world, and Magog is Africa. I don't know. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea, no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Then I want to turn to page 750 in the Book of Mormon. Read a bit from Ether. I've only planned on the 9th and 10th verse, but I think I want to read a little more than that. I guess start with the second verse. And behold, they rejected all the words of Ether, for he truly told them of all things from the beginning of man, and how that after the waters had receded off the face of this land, that's this right here, it became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him, which dwell upon the face thereof. That's dwelling on this land here. We are to serve the Lord. And that it was the place of the New Jerusalem. Which New Jerusalem are we talking about? Well, there's two New Jerusalems, you know. We got the old Jerusalem in the old country, which was to be rebuilt. And then there was to be a new Jerusalem built here, a city built by man. And then there was another new Jerusalem that was come down out of heaven. Well, if you cheat on me just a little bit, go with a couple of words to take all the questions out, don't we? Therefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him, which dwell upon the face thereof, and that it was the place of the New Jerusalem, which should come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a New Jerusalem upon this land. And he spake also concerning the house of Israel, and the Jerusalem from which Lehi should come. After that it should be destroyed, it should be rebuilt up again a holy city unto the Lord. Wherefore it could not be a new Jerusalem, for it had been in times of old. But it should be built up again and become a holy city of the Lord, and it should be built up unto the house of Israel. Now we, especially the older of us, have witnessed a good bit of the building up of that, of the rebuilding of the Jerusalem of old. Not complete yet. And it started a little ahead of my time, but my time started a little ahead of some of you. And it should be built up unto the house of Israel. But it is not a righteous city as of yet. But it will be. But it is not as of yet. So this is not complete. And that a new Jerusalem shall be built up upon this land. Not come down from heaven, but built up upon this land. Two new Jerusalems. Could be confusing, I guess. Two first resurrections. Could be confusing unless you think it through. That a new Jerusalem should be built up upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph. For the which things there has been a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not. And even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should not perish. No, he didn't perish in his home country, but of course he did live out his life down in Egypt, and these people lived out their life here in this country. It didn't mean they're going to live forever, but they didn't perish in Jerusalem. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance. Well, it ain't really exactly now. No more than Israel or Jerusalem of old country is a righteous country. So we're in the process. And they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old. Who is this they? The remnant of the house of Joseph. The Indians. If you want to use that term. Well, some people like to call them Native Americans. But somebody said a rose is a rose under any other name and still be a rose. So it's them. Whatever name you want to put on it, doesn't matter. They are the remnant of the house of Joseph. And they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and they shall be likened to the old, save the old have passed away, and all things have become new. And then cometh the new Jerusalem. Then cometh the new Jerusalem. Another new Jerusalem, isn't it? And blessed are they which dwell therein, for it is they whose garments are white through the blood of the Lamb. And they are they which are numbered among the remnant of the seed of Joseph, which were the house of Israel. And then also cometh a Jerusalem of old, and the inhabitants thereof. Blessed are they, for they have been blessed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The people in the old Jerusalem have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb at this time. But they will be. It says so right here. And when was this written? Well, Moroni, the work of Ether, would have been much earlier. And then's when the information was given to Ether. Moroni is just rewriting it, translating it, if you like, so that it could be preserved, so it could be translated again by the power of God through the interpreters or the Urim and Thummim by a servant of God, Joseph Smith. For they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they are they which were scattered and gathered in from the four quarters of the earth and from the north countries, and are the partakers of the fulfilling of the covenant which God made with our fathers Abraham. I hope it is every one of us, every one of our or your greatest desire to be one that would inherit this earth, the new earth that it refers to, a new heaven, a new earth. And to say it in a different set of words, that we would have part in the first resurrection. And to say it in maybe a little different words, that we would live our lives in a manner that we would be righteous enough to be the sons and daughters of God in Christ. And as the world would say, that we might be in a position that we might be saved. Have been saved? Oh no. We might be saved. Hopefully that each one of us today, if our life should be terminated, that we would be in a condition that we would be saved. It is of the most utmost importance, above all their earthly possessions, above all of our love for one another, for our children, because our children are the, for a normal person at least, and I think everyone here is normal, our children are the greatest love, greatest concern of every mother there is, and maybe father too, but mother has a little different love, I believe, than fathers do. I think it's meant to be that way. I don't think it's that I'm throwing any stones at fathers. But it is difficult to go into a a new environment when you know no one. But when the time comes and all things are made anew, and all sorrows and all memories of things of past are wiped away, then I think it would be much easier to join the other people that are there. I'm sure some of you have had more experience than others of going into a whole new environment. And perhaps I've had as much as most anybody here. When you, Monday morning, you go into the new air base or Navy base or whatever, and there's no one there that you know. Unless maybe sometimes there might be two of you, so you know the man that you're going with. And sometimes the man that you're going with, you really don't know. You've just met him, and maybe been in school with him a little bit, but you don't know anything about his real character. I guess when I went to work at Ford with a whole new bunch of people, when I went to work at General Motors with a whole new bunch of people, when I went to work at Lockheed, there was one man that I'd seen at Ford that wanted to befriend me, and we are friends, and we still are friends, but the people that you really go to work with, they are complete strangers. I guess as I look back at that, Chad probably went to work with a whole new bunch forward when he went on day shift. As he may have seen him going home when he went in before some of them, but to go work with him, it's a whole new group. And that's not necessarily easy. And I guess if the things were not made anew, it could be pretty bad here. If you go without your wife, you go without your children, you go without your mother or your father. But things all made anew will be glorious. And that is promised.